Well, good morning. It's great to be with you. Almost had a little traffic jam there. Almost didn't make it out. That's all right. You want to preach instead? No, just kidding. I had a shop teacher in eighth grade whose name was Mr. Cross. He had a son that year, and he named him Chris. I don't know if that was brilliant. Some of you are just getting that. The coffee finally worked in. I don't know if that was brilliant or cruel, you know, Chris Cross. I heard he was really good at tying his shoes, though. But maybe some of you have heard the musician Frank Zappa. He named his kids some interesting names. Dweezil. Dweezil. Thanks, Dad. Dweezil. Sister Moon Unit and Diva Muffin. Interesting. You know, when it comes to names, sometimes with product names, they become so popular that that whole product is named after that name, right? After the initial creator. In other words, Kleenex. I mean, how often do you say, hey, can you pass me a facial tissue? No. You say, give me a Kleenex, even if it comes out of a Puffs box. I just want a Kleenex. Or another example is Band-Aid. You know, this week I cut my finger and I asked my daughter, can you give me the Walmart sterile strip thing? Just give me a Band-Aid, right? A Band-Aid. Companies spend millions of dollars enforcing copyright and trademark agreements because they want to protect the name, right? So that people wouldn't misuse the name. Well, today in our series through the Ten Commandments, we come to the third commandment that deals with a name. A very important name, and about not misusing that name. But before we head farther, each week we've got this little memory device that we're offering and sharing with you to help you remember the Ten Commandments. So Deanna's going to come out and she's going to share this device. And I know the first congregation rocked it. So even though this is week three, I have high hopes for you. All right. So Deanna, this is how to remember the Ten Commandments.
All right. So there's a lot of kids in here because it's Family Sunday. So help me out, kids. And I'll go slowly because I know you've seen them for 2 weeks now. So you're getting used to it. So everybody's hands up. We're going to do this together. Ready? Number one, God first. Number two, no idols. Number three, God's name. Number four, Sabbath rest. Number five, honor parents. Number six, don't murder. Number seven, stay faithful. Number eight, don't steal. Number nine, don't lie. Number 10, don't covet. Great job. Good job.
Deanna. Good. Nice job. Exodus 20, verse 7, the third commandment reads this. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. I think you'll see as we go through the Ten Commandments really deal with how we deal with God's gifts. In other words, murder. You shall not murder, right? That's dealing with the gift of life. Stay faithful deals with the gift of marriage and intimacy. I get to speak about that in 4 weeks, so be here for that one, right? They deal with God's gift. Well, this third commandment, it's about dealing with a gift from God. His name is a gift to us. This morning, I want to share with you four reasons why God's name is a precious gift, and then look at a few ways that we misuse his name. Why is it a gift? Number one, God's name accesses his character, right? God's name accesses his character. When you hear someone's name, oftentimes you attribute or you think about that person, what kind of person they were, right? How you interacted with them. Sometimes as parents, we name our kids certain things because we want them to be a certain kind of person, right? Very few kids are named Hitler nowadays, right? Because we don't want our kids to be like Hitler, right? Names are important. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver. Or the opposite, 1 Samuel 25:25. May the Lord pay no attention to that wicked man, Nabal. He is just like his name. His name is fool. That's what his name meant. Fool. You know, some celebrities change their names because they want to come up with a new image, right? Maybe some of you remember Miami Dolphin Mark Dupas. He changed his name to Mark Duper. That wasn't quite good enough, so then it was Mark Super Duper. All right? Some of you may remember NBA player Ron Artest. He was suspended for 86 games because fighting with a fan. All right? So he changed his name. He wanted a new image. He changed it to Meta World Peace. Right? That's what he wanted to portray until he got in another fight and put his elbow and with a player this time and got suspended for 8 games. So that didn't work out too well for him. Sometimes God changes the name, right? Peter, the rock, right? Wanted Peter to be the rock for the church. Abraham became the father of many nations. But no name is more important than the name of God, Yahweh. In Exodus 3, Moses was out, remember, and he saw a burning bush and he approached it and God spoke to him. And he says, I'm going to use you to deliver the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. And Moses is like, well, who am I supposed to say is sending me? Who, you know, because in Egypt, all the gods had certain names, like which God, what, you know, am I supposed to say? And he gave him his name, the name Yahweh. There's different ideas of what that meant, but the self-existent one, the one who always was, the one who is, the one who will always be, right? The creator of the universe, the one true God. God's saying, I will be with you. I am present, and I will be with you when you go to meet Pharaoh. But God fills in more of this character of the name of what we're supposed to think about God a couple chapters later in Exodus 34. You remember Pastor Mark made reference to this. After the no idols, right? No idols. Well, Moses is up on the mountain, and what do the people do? They go to Aaron and say, can you make for us a God who will go before us? Right? God had already gone before them, but now they're saying, make us a golden calf, an idol. No idols. So Moses, like, yeah, he was not happy, right? He had the two tablets, threw them down, they broke. He goes back up and talks to God, and God gives him more commandments. But God reveals something about himself at this very important moment, because God could have just destroyed them, said, okay, fine. You guys didn't get it, goodbye. But God reveals something. And these verses in Exodus 34 are the most quoted verses in the Old Testament. It's kind of like our John 3:16. Right? You'll find them come up over and over because they capture the character of God. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him, Moses, and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. Slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished, right? He cares about sin because sin destroys, but God is a gracious God. And God wanted them to think about that every time they said his name, Yahweh, to remember his forgiveness at this very crucial moment when they had just practiced idolatry. In the New Testament, in John 8:58, Jesus is having a conversation with the religious leaders and talking about Abraham. And he says this profound phrase. He says, before Abraham was born, I am. He speaks the name of God. You see, faithful Jews throughout the Old Testament, they wouldn't even say God's name because they had reverence for God's name. So they wouldn't even if you're reading the Bible, they would skip over it or they would replace it with the name. They would just say the name, but they wouldn't say the name. And yet Jesus at this crucial moment says, I am Yahweh. He speaks the name of God. And they knew what he was doing. Not only that he spoke the name, but he was claiming to be Yahweh. They picked up stones. They were ready to stone him for blasphemy. Because the name of God captures his character. And why would we want to misuse his name? But not only does it capture his character, God's name accesses his blessings. Just a few verses after the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, verse 24, God says this, "Wherever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you." Do you see the connection there? Wherever it says, God, I'm going to put my name, and when I cause where my name to be honored, there I will bless you. And God chose, of all the places in the whole world, he chose Jerusalem in the temple to be the place where his name would be honored. And I love Solomon's prayer as the temple was built. Solomon prays this. He says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who with his hands has fulfilled what he promised with his mouth to my father David. For he said, since the day I brought my people out of Egypt, I have not chosen a city in any tribe of Israel to have a temple built so that my name might be there. But now I have chosen Jerusalem for my name to be there." Right? Sometimes when we think of the temple, we think of what the Ark of the Covenant's in there, right? And you got all these, the lampstand and all these things. And in the Ark was the staff and a little bit of manna and the Ten Commandments. But have you ever thought that the temple was to be the place, the home of God's name? And so he goes on to pray and says that when we pray to the temple and pray in your name, God, will you bless us? If there's famine and we pray in your name, bless us. If we're facing war, God, will you bless us? Hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place, of his name, and when you hear, forgive. He said, even the foreigners, that they would hear of your great name, and even foreigners who would come, and if they would even pray toward the temple and proclaim in your name, God, even bless them so that people all over the world would know of your great name. Paul writes now in the New Testament that every spiritual blessing that we have is in Christ, is in Christ. Before Jesus left, he said this, "I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask," what? "In my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Do you want God's blessing in your life? How are you treating the name of Jesus? Sometimes when we pray, you know, just at the end, we kind of tack on the end, "in the name of Jesus." Just like, "Hey God, I'm signing off." That's not what we're doing. When we pray, we are praying in the name of Jesus, where God's blessings reside. And that is no small thing. Not only that is God's blessings, but third, God's name accesses his authority. When the religious leaders in faith proclaim God's name, things changed. Things changed in the world. Because God answered their prayers. And one of the most significant examples, the beautiful moment in Israel's history, is when a Goliath, a giant of a man, was speaking against God and the armies of Israel. Basically paraphrasing, Goliath was saying, "Your God is nothing. Your God, phooey. Who is he compared to our gods?" Right? He was mocking God. until a shepherd boy hears this and says, nah, not on my watch. What does David do? He goes and he says to Goliath, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you with rock and slingshot? No. He says, I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defiled. David is saying, I am coming to you. And all he had was a rock and a slingshot. In the name of Yahweh. He proclaimed God's name at that moment. And you know what happened. The great victory he had. Again, in the New Testament, Jesus promised the disciples, and whatever, now he says, I will do whatever you ask in my name. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. We speak the name of Christ. We are coming with his authority, proclaiming his authority. You know, Peter got this. Peter was speaking to a crippled beggar by the temple. He says, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Right? In the authority of Jesus. Peter changed this man's life. So how do you want to handle God's name? How do you want to use God's name? Especially this name that is above every name. The name Jesus. The fourth reason it's a gift is because God's name accesses his salvation. And one of my favorite stories in all the Bible is 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It says that King Jehoshaphat, I mean, just that is a fun name to say, right? Jehoshaphat, just kind of, you know. And the Israelites faced a vast army. A vast army. They were about to be wiped out. A vast army. But what does Jehoshaphat do? He goes and prays. Listen to this. O Lord Yahweh. Okay, whenever you see the word Lord in all capitals, that's the name of God, Yahweh. God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? I mean, you've revealed yourself as Yahweh, the one who always has been. You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Oh, our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of the land before the people of Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether by sword of judgment or a plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. God's name accesses God's salvation. You will save us. And I love God's response to King Jehoshaphat. He comes to him and says this, you know what? This is not your battle. You are not going to have to fight this battle. God fights for them. God causes the army, this vast army that came up against them, to fight against themselves, to turn on themselves, that they were wiped out. And Jehoshaphat had arranged the musicians, right, to be in the front battle. Right? The musicians were going first as an act of faith, because certainly they weren't going to do much, right? Here, take my guitar, whack, you know. Back then it was probably a lute or a lyre, but they weren't going to do a whole lot. But God, they didn't have to, because God, not only did God save them from their enemies, it said that there was so much plunder, okay, that it took them 3 days to collect all the plunder. God blessed them on top of fighting for the battle. Right? God always blesses more than you imagine or will expect when you call upon his name. The name of Jesus brings salvation. Acts 4:12, Peter is preaching. He says, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Jesus fought for you and for me on the cross. He fought the battle that you could not win. And he won it for you. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, that if you call on him, you will be saved. Right? Jesus offers salvation. That if we come to him and call on his name in repentance and in humility, calling on his name, he will hear us. And he will save you from your sins. And even then, he continues to fight and to fight and to fight for us. Paul says to be strong in Ephesians chapter 6, but he says to be strong in the Lord, in him, claiming his name, his authority, his salvation of what he wants to do in your life. So how do you want to treat that name? You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, because it is a precious gift to misuse it. How do we misuse God's name? Let me ask you two questions. One, do you treasure God's name or do you trash it? Do you treasure it or do you trash it? The second question is, do you treat it lightly or with reverence? Lightly or with reverence. To misuse God's name can just mean that we just treat it trivially, just lightly, improperly. Here's some ways we can misuse God's name. We'll certainly curse. We use God's name as a curse. That's very popular. We hear it all the time. Using God's name, whether it's God the Father or Jesus' name, and we treat it as a curse, just kind of basically dragging it through the mud, just like any other profane word. But on the other side, sometimes we misuse God's name because we treat it casually. Casually. So a very popular phrase, OMG. Now, if you're meaning to state your allegiance to God, then, oh my God, is a wonderful thing to say. But oftentimes, that's not how we're using it, right? It's more just like a comment. It's more like the egads or peanuts or, you know, whatever other phrases that just don't mean anything that sometimes we just say as an exclamation. We just kind of throw God's name out there. I mean, we're not calling upon his name at that moment, but we are getting God's attention. Whenever you use God's name, you are getting his attention. The question is, what kind of attention do you want to get? So sometimes we treat God's name very casually. The third C word is charm. Sometimes we treat God's name as a lucky charm, right? If we just say it, it's like a magic. It's like a rabbit's foot, right? You got the rabbit's foot, or you got the four-leaf clover, and it's just kind of a lucky thing. We're just going to say God's name, and just magical things are going to happen. Sometimes maybe you hear people pray, and like they say the name of Jesus in every sentence. Like just if I just keep saying it, something magical is going to happen. I love the story in Acts 19 where some guys were seeing what Paul was doing, the miracles that he was doing. I mean, even the handkerchiefs that he wiped his sweat on, people were taking them and they were doing miracles. And like, hey, we want to get in on this, right? These guys. And so they go start preaching or speaking in the name, and they started trying to cast out a guy who cast out a demon from a guy. And so they, in the name of Jesus, they're trying to cast him out because that's what they saw Paul do. And maybe you know the story, but the demon kind of looks at them and says, what? You know, like, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but I have no idea who you are. And the demon beats up on them all, so much so that they leave the house bleeding and naked. I mean, can you imagine being outside the house there? But they were just treating it as lucky charm. But they didn't know Jesus. They had not put their faith in Jesus. They had not submitted to Jesus. And we're not truly speaking the name of Jesus with reverence and awe and in his authority. So when Jesus says to pray in his name, it means that we pray in his, along with his will, in accordance with what God wants to do in your life and the kingdom, victory and focus. That's what he's saying. We can pray and claim his authority, not just really anything we want, like it's a lucky charm. The fourth C word here is contradiction. Not only do we misuse God's name with our words, but we can misuse God's name with our life. And what do I mean by that? Well, when you put your faith in Christ, you are now called a Christian, right? You're taking the name of Christ upon your life. Small Christ, it's called. They were known as Christians, as Christ followers. And the question is my life, is your life reflecting reverence for that name that we've taken? See, in Romans chapter 2, Paul writes some pretty challenging words to the Jews in the Old Testament. He says, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. In other words, as Gentiles, as these pagans who didn't know Yahweh, who didn't know God, but saw your life, and they saw how inconsistent it was, that it didn't reflect the name you were claiming, that they were living just as any other pagan nation was living. He says, because of that, God's name was being blasphemed because of that. So the question for us is our life taking on reverence for the name of Christ? That's why I love Colossians 3:17, one of my favorite verses in the New Testament. Whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You want his name to be reflected in what you're saying and how you're living. The name of Jesus. The fifth C word here is the word caution. Caution. And this doesn't really have to do with God's name, but a very important word related to God, and that's the word holy. That's the word holy. You know, there is only one who is holy. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah 6, the angels sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It's the only time an attribute of God is mentioned three times. In that culture, that means like the superlative. God is holy. He's the only one who's holy. And things that are related to God are holy. Right? There's a close connection between that attribute and God himself. And so when Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy be your name. Sometimes we take that word holy and we use it with all sorts of things. I think sometimes that can just kind of impact our hearts, that God's holiness, the idea of holiness becomes trivial. So what do? I think the most important thing for any of us is that we learn to treasure the name. You see, we don't misuse things that we treasure, right? When we treasure it, We guard it. We have reverence for it. So to treasure God's name, to realize what a gift it is, to realize how precious it is, to treasure it in our lives. And that's why we get together and we worship God's name together, to learn and to cultivate hearts that treasure the name of God. 1 Chronicles 16:28, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. And so we do that when we gather together and worship, but we can do it throughout the week as well. Maybe doing a study on the names of God. I know some of you probably have, but studying, there's different names of God in the Old Testament. for very specific situations and how God met their need. Maybe there's some wonderful books about the names of God. Maybe that'd be a great project to treasure God's name. If you have misused God's name, recognizing it as sin, confessing it, and claim the name of Yahweh, the one who forgives sins and right and rebellion. Claim the fact that God is gracious to you, and in Christ, God is willing to forgive. Another principle might be the principle of garbage in, garbage out. You know, sometimes we just hear in our culture often God's name being misused. Sometimes in things we're watching or things we're listening to, and you know, when you're just hearing it all the time, it can make it difficult. So maybe evaluate the things that you're allowing in so that it can impact what's coming out. To treasure God's name by the choices of what you listen to. Another thing might be to practice his presence, to realize that God is always with you. You know, sometimes we don't want to talk about someone when they're right there with us, right? But, you know, maybe when they're not there, it's kind of like talking behind their back, right? We maybe feel a little more free to talk about them. But what about God? God is always with us. He hears every time we express his name. To keep that in mind, to remember God is with me. So to treasure his name instead of trashing it. And maybe you're in a situation where you hear someone, maybe at work or neighbor, someone just kind of trashing. If you want to have a little fun, okay, this is a little fun at the end. You could say, wow, I didn't know you were so religious. I just heard you hear that say the name God and Jesus, and you even talked about hell, right? About someone being damned. See how they respond. Maybe that might spark a good conversation. I want to end by reading Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Why would we want to misuse that name that at this moment in all of history will be the most glorious moment when the name of Jesus is spoken and everyone bows? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, which is to guide us and to be a light unto our path. And even these Ten Commandments, Lord, as we look at them, that you are proclaiming in them gifts that you have given us, that you want us to use as you intended them. And Lord, especially the gift of your name. Thank you for speaking that to Moses. And thank you for just the gift of your name to us, that it captures your character, that we can know what kind of God you are, and that we can celebrate that you are a God who forgives, a God who is gracious. And you've displayed that ultimately in Christ, who is willing to die on the cross for us, for our sins, so that one day we could speak his name and access your salvation. We can call upon his name. Lord, that you've given us your name to call on when we're having challenges in this life, and that you promise to bless us and to meet us where we're at. And not only that, fight our battles for us. Lord, that you come to us and that you can give us victory in Christ over so many things in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, so that we can truly live for your glory and experience your joy and blessing. Lord, may we be people that revere your name. And maybe for some today, the first time that they're hearing this and hearing that Jesus, that they can call upon you, I pray that they would call upon you for salvation, with broken hearts, but humble hearts, hearts that are seeking, hearts that you are willing to find through Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.